So now here we are, 9 seconds left. Gators first down, 37-yard line, left hash. Snap to Franks. Franks dropping back, stepping up, running the ball, looking, looking. He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown, and the Gators have won the game. Tyree Cleveland, oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw. The Gators have won the ball game on a bomb thrown by Felipe Franks, and this place is an insane asylum again. Oh, my. Ball game. Gators have beaten Tennessee again.
Yo, yo, this is Debo, your number one Gator fan. Gator born, Gator raised, living that swamp life like always. Reporting to you from the southernmost corner of Florida, the only state to name the Gators as its official state reptile. Welcome to the Gator Football Discussion Podcast, where I touch on everything UF football, including recruiting, players, coaches, game analysis, and fan reactions. Join me on the other side after a brief message from our platform, Anchor.fm, and we'll dive into our next segment. I'll see you on the other side, and go Gators!
Welcome back to this week's segment of the Gator Football Podcast Discussion. During this segment, we're going to talk about the resurgence of the Florida Gator football team after a two-week hiatus, and due to the outbreak of COVID-19 amongst the football players, coaches, and staff. Like we reported during the last segment, there were over 25 reported players, coaches, and staff affected with COVID-19, which brought the football program operations to a grinding halt. They were slated to take on the LSU Tigers 2 weeks ago Saturday, and that game was postponed to December, as well as the following game that was scheduled to be played against the Missouri Tigers was also postponed till this coming Saturday, October 31st, Halloween Day. And while the team negotiated contact trace and went into quarantine protocol until they can get, you know, a hand on the outbreak on the team. A little information about that outbreak that's not has not been confirmed, but there's some grumblings about the outbreak, how it spread like wildfire on the team. Apparently during a trip to Texas A&M, apparently there were two players who had somewhat symptoms who did not follow the right protocol that was in place by the UF Athletic Association. If you were experiencing symptoms for COVID-19, and they continued to on and travel to and from College Station, Texas after that game. And upon returning back to Gainesville, like I said, 25 players and coaches, including head coach Dan Mullen, contracted COVID-19. And that effectively shut the program down for 2 weeks. During Coach Mullen's presser, he talked about the team's all operations, meetings and stuff were shut down, but they did have meetings via Zoom. But all physical type football operations, conditioning, weightlifting, and practicing was effectively shut down until they can complete a 10-day quarantine and try to get players back on the right track, because according to NCAA guidelines, that you must have 53 players to be able to field a football team during a this pandemic laden season. And apparently that the University of Florida did not meet that quota, and they couldn't meet that quota against LSU, and they could not meet it prior to the game being postponed against the Missouri Tigers. Now, fast forward to today's date. The Gators are effectively back into fall preparation, football preparation mode as of October 26th. They began practices and meetings and game week preparation to get ready for their slate this weekend against the Missouri Tigers. And as Coach Mullen iterated during his presser, that they treated it as a bye week or a double bye week. So they're treating it as they're coming off the bye week, and they're getting back in there and giving it a go. So expect some rust. As that last game against Texas A&M did not end like everyone wanted to end. They scored enough points to handily defeat the Aggies. But the elephant in the room, which has been the elephant in the room for the entire season, is the performance of the defense. After that loss, Coach Mullen was very animated about changes that was coming towards the defense, going back and evaluate everything about the defense, the staff, players, coaches, game tape, and try to get a better understanding about where the breakdown was happening and what was needed to be done to right the ship about this defense. Because like we talked about earlier, everyone had this defense in high regard, seasoned staff, seasoned players coming back, but something that defense is just not meeting expectations and not doing what they need to do. So like we said before, if they could have stopped, got three stops is all they needed. Three or more stops was all of them. Three and outs is what they needed against Texas A&M, is the difference of being 4-0 and sitting number three in the country. But right now they're currently ranked 10th in the AP poll. And I believe 8th in the coaches poll. Which is not bad for a team that has not played a game in 2 weeks. And you also had the Big Ten inserted into the college football rankings now, because they're actually playing their season. And you saw some pretty good football. You saw Ohio State take on Nebraska. Nebraska put up a fight for the first half, but then Ohio State, they turned it up a notch, and they pretty much handled the Cornhuskers pretty good in the second half. You had a big upset. You had Penn State, that was ranked ahead of the Gators, taking on a unranked Indiana Hoosiers team. That was a very good, very good football game. Penn State looks like they were going to come back and actually pull that game out in the final minute. But the Hoosiers were able to rally and score late in that game with seconds left to push the game in overtime. And they had a controversial play on the last play in overtime, and they scored a touchdown. They elected to go for a 2-point conversion. They reviewed it, where the quarterback Penix made a spectacular play, and he dove with the football. It looks like it may or may not have crossed the pylon, but the pylon did move, but the ruling on the field was touchdown, and the replay officials concluded that there was not enough information there or not enough evidence there to reverse the call. So the big ups to the Indiana Hoosiers for a walk-off win against the 8th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions. That was a big shakeup in the bowl championship series. So moving forward, that game is going to loom big. That's another notch in the perfect storm that the Florida Gators need to get to where they need to be to make it to the bowl championship series. That was a huge win. They need a couple more. Michigan, they played this weekend. They looked tough. Minnesota just didn't look like the old Minnesota team from last year. So it's going to be interesting in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is going to play a big part. And don't forget, you still have the Pac-10. They're going to open up their season soon. So a lot of things are happening in college football. The Gators haven't played in 2 weeks, but we have been entertained by some pretty good football games. Moving forward, we also had the Alabama suffered a huge setback with Jalen Waddle being injured on the opening kickoff against Tennessee. He was carted off, but he was helped off. But he was last seen leaving that Neyland Stadium in the back of an ambulance to go to the local hospital. And apparently he has had successful ankle surgery for a broken or dislocated ankle, and he is done for the season. But Alabama's a team that's, like we spoke about, they're loaded, man down, man up, and they replaced Waddle, who was most definitely going to be a first-round receiver, and they inserted another new receiver. I don't have his name at the moment, but he made some good plays, and there he did. That offense did not miss a beat. So we have some work to be done. There's a lot of games to be played, and now let's go and talk a little bit more about the Florida Gators, man. Like I said, Mullen had vowed that they're going to do some changes, reevaluation and changes and improve the defense. He was going to take some time off, according to his presser, to give an overseer, a watch, or another hand on deck to see how they can improve the defense and make changes and adjustments to improve. They have 2 weeks off. The coaching staff had 2 weeks off. No players to evaluate everything about what was being instituted and the performance of the team on the defensive football team on the field. I'm quite sure they have a very capable staff, top level championship type staff. I'm quite sure that we should see some different things this week against Missouri, because what we were doing the first 3 weeks, it was good enough to win, but that last one was not quite good enough to win, and that's when we came up short. So you have to get some more stops. 3 to 4 more extra stops a game is almost guarantees a win with this offense. So let's see what happens with the with the defense this coming week against Missouri Tigers, but I look forward to be a very different looking defense, and they should make some plays. You have one more player that's returning, Kyrie Campbell, who missed the first 3 games, and he is now clean. He has been cleared to play for whatever reason. It's not documented why. I know at one point he was an opt out due to health concerns, but he is back. He's another big body to plug in the middle. They need a little help in the middle, because they have been simply getting gashed on the running game, which that's not something we are accustomed to for University of Florida defense. So, Kyrie Campbell, welcome back. All hands on deck. Lend a helping hand, and let's see what you can add to the defense to make it that's much more better. All right, so this week, University of Florida be taking on the Missouri Tigers. Currently, the Tigers are 2-2. They have won 2 consecutive games. The first one was a barn burner against LSU. And last week, they defeated the Kentucky Wildcats, who also had an impressive win the week before against Tennessee. So, hey, Missouri is one of the most improved clinic teams in the SEC from week one of the start of this fall season. They first week they lost to Alabama 38-14. Now they were one of the only teams to hold Alabama under 40 points. That's had to say something huge about their defense. That defense is very capable. That second week against Tennessee, they had a little slippage there, and they gave that game away. But to play Alabama the way they did in week one is a big statement game from them. And they scored about 40 points against LSU, and they handled Kentucky as well. So they're 2-2, 2 consecutive wins. And this is a team that always, always, always play the Gators tough. They have beaten the Gators in the swamp before. They have taken the Gators to the woodshed on homecoming a few years back in the swamp. And it just seems like some teams play against each other, and some teams just have your numbers, a perfect mesh matchup and a perfect mesh. And it's either you win by inches or you get beat by feet. So we'll see what happens, man. The Gators had to come out with their A game. The offense could be a little rusty, but they got some weapons, who veteran players who should be able to quickly get on the same page with Kyle Trask, and they should just be able to put some points up against this team, but it's going to take all hands on deck. Missouri has a quarterback. We talked about him in the early in an early podcast breakdown about the SEC East quarterbacks, and then I talked about this guy Connor Blaziak. He's the leading passer for Missouri right now. He has 893 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So He's throwing it out. He's throwing it around, but he's not he doesn't have prolific type numbers, but he's old man winner, man. He's reliable. So, you know, we have to get some pressure on him, and we're going to have to create some happy feet, get him out of the pocket and force him into making some mistakes, because he only thrown one interception in four games. So that's pretty good. He's played some pretty stiff defenses. Pretty stout defenses to only score, throw one interception, so he's hard to turn over. But we have to come up with ways to get pressure on him and make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Now, this guy, Larry Roundtree, seems like he's been around for forever. So, but on the season, he has 37 carries for 396 yards, three touchdowns, and he's averaged almost five yards a carry at 4.6. He's pretty reliable. Running backs have gave this defense, Florida defense, problems. He seems like Larry Roundtree. He's a veteran running back, and he could be one of those guys that can, change that time of possession and keep that Gator offense off the field. So we're going to have to, like I said, Kyrie Campbell, welcome back. We're going to need you this week, and hopefully you can get out there and help get those three extra stops, man. Three extra three and outs is going to be the key to this game. Offense can score, but the defense can't turn around and let the opponents come around and score in their very next series. There has to be some three and outs. The receiving core is led by Jalen Knox. He has 19 catches for 216 yards, zero touchdowns. So it is what it is, man. Except for the secondary, Gary came in, highly touted, but they have been picked apart, picked on, and abused this season. So 2 weeks off, hopefully they can make some adjustments, can make some plays to get those extra stops, those pass breakups, and some INTs will hopefully come towards the good guys' way. Defensively, they're led by Nick Bolton. He has 43 total stops and 25 solos. On the pass rushing aspect, you have Trajan Jeffcoat. He leaves the team with three sacks with a total of 14 yards lost. And that's Missouri, man. That's pretty solid on special teams, good kickers. That's Missouri. So it's not going to be easy. This game is very winnable, but it's going to take a team effort to win this game. Florida doesn't really have any injuries right now. I don't know if Ethan White, the center, I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know if he's returning this season, this week, but he's been out a couple extra days to heal up. The offensive line was performing well. So with him coming back in the fold, it'd be his first game. I don't know if it's going to take the offense is going to take a backseat back, or they're going to continue to evolve and develop. But they had a good rhythm before the pandemic. But we have to sit, see and evaluate what happens moving forward. So that's all I have this week. Not a lot to talk about. One last little nugget on the recruiting trail before I get out of here. The Gators picked up a Rivals 250 linebacker, top 100 linebacker, in Jeremiah Scooby Williams out of Alabama. He chose the good guys over Auburn. He looks the part right now. 6'4", 225 in high school. He has an SEC body. You take him and Chief Borders, and you can plug them on. They're bigger than three quarters of all the linebackers that we have now. You need those big bodies that can run, that can fit gaps, and can just clog things up and make tackles and just tattoo runners as they come through. So he looks like a physical tackler. He has some room to grow. So those are the type of good guys need to get. He chose Florida or Auburn. He says he's 150,000% committed, which is what we want to hear. So that's another one down. We got a few more to get on the recruiting trail. Keep pulling them in, Coach Mullen. Keep pulling in those good guys and just building that arsenal up let's keep loading those bullets up that we can keep using, and then let's keep this ball rolling with this week, and let's go out and get a good victory. I'll be back. This is all I have this week. I'll return next week with more information and break down the Missouri game and the results and your reaction. So, like I say all the time, man, you're going out there and you're going out there, man. It's time where everybody's going out to vote. Early voting. I got my vote in. It's counted. I'm done. Everyone's going out to count. You know, use your social distancing, facial coverings, and use your hyper hygiene practices, and to keep yourself, your family, and your neighbors safe. And because, like I said, this reports are that the pandemic is surging, and it's cold and flu season, and it's starting to affect a lot of people again. So let's do what we can, man, to keep battling and keep out what's about us during this pandemic. And I'll see you next time on the Gator Football Podcast Discussion. And go Gators. Thanks for listening to the Gator Football Discussion Podcast. If you like our show, check us out weekly. Also, comment, like, subscribe, or share on our platform. Join us next time as I do what I do best, and that's talk Florida football discussion. Go Gators!